Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guests today are the Parson Redheads. Check out myspace.com/redheads. We're going to start by listening to a track from their LP, King Giraffe, and then we'll do some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. All channels up. My guests today are the Parson Redheads. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Thanks for coming in on this gloomy, wet Sunday evening in Los Angeles.
You're welcome.
So let's start with some introductions. Just tell me, who are you and what do you bring to the Parson Redheads?
I'll start. I'm Sam, and I play guitar in the band.
I'm Evan, and I sing, and I also play the guitar.
My name is Brett, and I play the drums. And my name is Aaron, and I play the keys and the tambourine.
And I've seen some pictures of you guys on MySpace, and it looks like there's about 20 or 30 of you in the band. So tell me about who else fills out the sound for you guys.
Oh, gosh.
There's, let's see. Who's out? David. There's a guy named David.
Hi, David.
Might know him, might not, I don't know. He plays some guitar. There's a guy named Aaron Ballard.
He also plays
some guitar. Our friend Raymond plays pedal steel sometimes.
Now, are these guys that sometimes play with you, or is this part of the
some
band?
Some of them.
David plays most of the time.
Raymond sometimes. Aaron sometimes. Jason plays tambourines all the time. Our friend Ben is playing bass right now. And there's a whole lot. I mean, we could spend the whole show.
That's the main core of guest stars. We have other guest stars, too, who come and then go.
And receive an honorary Parsons name.
Yeah.
So this is definitely an ensemble collaborative project. It's not like Evan and his band or any one member and his band.
No.
Did it ever start out that way? Did it ever start as a one person and a guitar? Or did it, from the beginning, was it a group effort?
It was a group effort, a much different group than it is now. It was like me and Brett and other people.
And Sam.
Well, Sam was in an early incarnation, then left, then a whole different group started and did stuff. Then Sam found his way back.
Came back.
Did you, when you came back, was it a pretty much a different project than when you were in?
Yeah, it was completely
different. The music
was different
and everything?
Yeah. It started where Evan and I were kind of like splitting. Pretty much we would do one of mine, we'd do one of his, song-wise. And then when I came back, we had both kind of changed a lot of the music that we were listening to and consequently making, and he's started to write completely different styles of songs. It's cool. So
do most of the songs start, Evan, with your writing?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I'll write something anywhere from like 50% done to more done, and then recently we've just been, I'll bring it to the band and then we just, like, I show it to them and then we just play it. With, like, people going from nobody knowing what they're doing.
Just following their instincts to see what comes out.
And then playing it over and over again till people start to figure out what they're doing. And then, you know, after we finish, we're like, I kind of like that thing. Maybe you should try that. And then, so we end up playing the song, you know, like 10 million times.
I grab my headphones so we can go into a live song. And make sure all your levels are good. What would you like to play for us first?
We're going to play Punctual as Usual first. This is actually the only song. This is the one song that has existed from the beginning, from when Sam was in the band. It's a lot different. Well, pretty different than from when we first wrote it. But this is the one.
It's been with the project since
the
classic, beginning.
The oldest song we have.
It's gone through a lot of evolution. So cool. I can't wait to hear it. Whenever you're ready.
We'll just go into it.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. I got a girl, she's never on time. When I'm late, it's always alright. Alright. I'm always alright. I'm trying out this new technique. I close my eyes whenever you speak to me. Serves to distance me. You are the ground beneath my feet. keeps me standing straight. Trying out this new technique. I close my eyes whenever you speak to me. It serves to distance me from all the people in all the wrong places, situations and altercations myself into. Well, I'm always all right. You are the ground beneath my feet. Everything in place and keeps me standing straight. Wow,
that was fantastic. What a great start to the show.
Thank you.
You know, I was listening to that, and one of the things that kept coming back to me, maybe it was because I was also looking at the sleeve art for your album here, is there's sort of an old school feel to your music. There's definitely almost like classic rock influence, kind of a time warp thing, the harmonies and everything. It kind of reminds you of an older way of making music, because I listen to a lot of indie rock, and you kind of get that. A certain kind of vibe, and this is definitely coming from a past. Is this because of the music you guys listened to growing up, or how did that?
It's probably from the music we listen to now.
Yeah.
We're after our own heart with that. Yeah,
like I definitely didn't used to listen to a lot of the older stuff, and then I don't know. At some point, I just started kind of hearing more of it and kind of coming around to it in a different way, and it's mainly what I listen to now. Older music.
And what is it about that style of rock and roll that kind of and folk music that resonates with you, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it has to do with, I don't know, there's just so much, especially now, like recently with a lot of the indie rock, it seems like there's not as much of a focus on like melody and harmonies as there was back then. I don't know, for me, a lot of it's like, now it seems like really like tribal, like rhythm, like drums, mm-hmm. heavy bass, not as much on the melody of things. And I don't know, that doesn't appeal to me as much. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Sam?
I think lyrically, older music is a lot, it's very sincere. And in general, it's a bit more sincere than a lot of modern rock music, maybe. Mm-hmm. And also, I used to work at a record store, and my old manager was all about 60s and 70s music, and I at the time I wasn't like super into it, you know, but I was coming around to it, and he's put it this way, that back then they kind of discovered a timeless way to produce records, and I really agree with that after a few years of like thinking in that way.
Yeah, there's some songs that seem very like if you listen to 80s music, you know, it seems very dated, right? You can only imagine it really working in the 80s. And when you listen to it, you're going back to the 80s. But then there's a lot of music from the 60s and 70s that you listen to it now, and you're like, this is just a good song. There's no other way to put it. It lasts, you know?
Yeah.
What about, speaking of sincerity, I mean, what are some of the themes and things you guys like to write about and sing about?
I don't know. I just, most of the time it's, I don't write a lot of like really depressing songs. I write about growing up a lot and some coming of age songs, I guess, and love, you know, pretty simple stuff. Nothing too complicated ever, but, and nothing like very abstract. Normally it's pretty simple. And
do you like to write in terms of like stories about people or more experiences that you had?
Sometimes stories, not often. It's kind of rare. It's pretty rare that I take like a story that I like, something I experienced or like something I make up, and then it's normally just like experiences or, but never like a specific story about like someone can be like, yeah, that song's totally about me.
And do you guys, because it's such a collaborative effort, do you work on the lyrics together as well? I mean, does Evan ever come in with something and you're like, you know, this doesn't really sound like a Parson Redhead song. We should move it this direction or another.
It's pretty much all lyrics.
I don't think that's one song we might play tonight. Sam wrote most of. I helped him a little bit. I wrote
it's
like
much
one
50-50.
One thing.
Most of the stuff that is 100% put together by the band, like if it's started from nothing, it's all jams. It's just really elongated jams
that become songs later.
Yeah, or what will happen is we'll like write a jam or just jam a jam, I guess. And then we'll think it's really cool, so we'll just insert it into a song that already exists. Or we'll just add it on to the end. That's something we do that's pretty much all the time.
lyrics-wise, it's all Evan.
It's all Evan.
Yeah, Evan's got a really good memory for like remembering if we like, you know, just by accident kind of fall into a cool jam at the beginning of practice or something, like a week later he'll be like, hey, remember this thing that we were doing? I'll be like, oh yeah, and maybe that'll become a song or a part of the song, or he'll write that into something he's working on at home.
So is there, it sounds like there's not like a very clear line between a jam session and a rehearsal. Do you guys like to play?
Sometimes it depends on the night.
Yeah. I guess if you're preparing for a show,
Nights I don't know what happens when we'll like all plug in, and slowly I'll be like, oh, it's been like 20 minutes and we've just been, I don't know what we've been
screwing around.
But sometimes that's good. Sometimes it really helps. It definitely helps. I think it's a good practice. Keeps a band, makes a band better at playing together, I think.
And do those kind of, that kind of improvisation that comes from jamming together, does that show up in your live performances, or do you keep it pretty strict to what you guys rehearsed?
Pretty strict. I mean, there's parts in songs that are totally like free form, like not as necessarily as far as like how long we go, but what we do, like, you know, at the end of songs, a lot of times there's jam parts that could go on for I don't know how long.
We're not, for the most part, though, we have pretty good self-control.
We're never ridiculous.
Shows. We're not like crazy long jam band.
No, I don't think we're ever going to be.
Those bands annoy us.
Yeah.
That's annoying.
So there's no 12-minute cowbell solos? Or. Cool. All right, let's listen to another track from your CD. Tell me a little bit. This is your first full length? I know you guys had some EPs before this, right?
We self-released a couple, like when we were in Oregon. But those we don't really... They're just not really the same band anymore. So,
did you guys all come down from Oregon together, like as a group?
Yeah, except Aaron was already here. My sister, Aaron was already here, but
and Sam wasn't, and was in Oregon and then moved to Wisconsin and then moved here from Wisconsin.
It was a weird migration of one band, and then some of the members left. Some people then moved down from Oregon afterwards.
Interesting.
Someday we'll put a family tree in an album sleeve or something.
Yeah,
but it's easier if you're just like, yeah, everyone's from Oregon and we all lived in one big place and one little apartment, and it simplifies things.
It's not an uncommon migration, the Oregon indie scene to the LA scene. A lot of people from up there seem to come down here. Did you guys come down here specifically to pursue the Parson Redheads?
Pretty much, yeah. I moved here for acting, and didn't know my brother was going to move here. He surprised me, but it was actually really cool. And he moved here, but lost his keyboardist. His keyboardist stayed in Oregon. So he was like, you want to maybe play in the band for a little bit or something? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Nice.
So it was a surprise.
It was meant to be, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to another track from King Giraffe. What do you recommend?
What did we say? What would be good for next? Ooh, we should do Mossback?
Yeah. Say Goodnight? Mossback or Say Goodnight would be cool.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Parson Redheads. We'll be right back. Stick around. Back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Parson Redheads. We were just chatting a little bit about performing live and some of the challenges of performing live when you're not feeling very well. I'm curious, what kind of venues do you guys like to play in? Do you like the more intimate venues, or do you like a big arena kind of feel?
We very rarely played that big of a venue.
Probably like the Staples Center.
That's a good one, yeah.
The biggest venue Carnegie we Hall. Played is probably the Independent in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And that was great.
It was actually a really awesome experience.
Those are like, they're two different kinds of fun. Like playing at the Independent was great because it's like real, like, just a professional venue. Lots of people there to watch. The sound is really good. They treat you nice. And, like, playing, like, there, like, the Troubadour is, like, really cool. Because they're, like, just, like, pro establishments. But at the same time, it's fun to play, like, the Echo. Because, like, the Echo is, like, our home base. Like, we, like, all the staff there we know, and they're really nice. And
yeah, it feels like home.
I like playing the Silver Lake venues a lot. Just, like, Spaceland and the Echo are, like, the best.
And we'll come back to this later in the show, but you guys have a residency at Spaceland this month.
Yeah, we play every Monday this month for free.
So. Yeah, that's great. That's part of their thing with the sort of building the independent scene by doing free Monday shows, and they pick a band.
Yeah.
And how did you guys come across that? Just from having played a lot and you were just finally asked?
Yeah, we've just played a lot and, like, you know, being in contact with Jen, the promoter, a lot. Like, we've discussed it before, and just she wanted to wait for a while and wait for the right time. And finally she wrote me and was like, "You want to do it in January?" And I was like,
sweet.
Yes, I do.
What, I mean, you touched on this a little bit, but let's go in a little more detail. Like, what do you, what makes for a good live performance for you guys, and what makes for a bad live performance? Like, how do you know when you got off the stage that it was successful, other than people coming out and supporting you?
Hmm. Sam, you want to take a go, girls?
Yeah, I don't really know. I think what makes me feel best is if all of our harmonies were, like, really well locked in. And getting that right, I still haven't figured that out. That's kind of a mystery, because some nights I'll get on stage, and for, like, after sound check, we'll do, you know, our first couple songs, like, of the actual show, and I'll be like, man, I can hear myself, like, a lot coming through this monitor, and I feel great about, like, the harmonies. It's something to do with the mix, because, like, sometimes I can hear myself really well, but other times I can't hear myself at all, and I still feel great about it, and I don't know.
A lot of times it does depend on the sound engineer at the venue, huh?
Sound is big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we've had shows that have been good. People say that they're good, but
you didn't feel like
they
were?
I don't know, because I can't hear anything. And that's really disconcerting a little bit when you can't hear what's going on at all. And I can't hear my keyboard, so I don't really know what I'm playing. I mean, I think I do, but so that has a lot to do with it. And then audience is really, I think, for me, not necessarily size, but just energy and whether or not I can tell that they're really, you know, having a fun time. And
so if you look out there and you can see that you're really connecting with people, and that kind of motivates you to keep going on with
they
the show.
Enjoy There's definitely an exchange that goes on. For you can't deny it. Like, it makes you play so much better.
Yeah.
Like, if people are smiling at you, you know, it's... Or if you look out and everyone's just sort of, like, blank-faced and looks bored.
Standing 20 feet from the stage.
Like, what's going on?
Like, they're just waiting for the next band that they came to see or whatever.
So that makes a huge difference, at least for me. And as far as, like, just playing well, we just know. We magically know.
Yeah.
And if, like, the show ends and we all felt like it was funky, we look at each other and we're like, that was funky.
It's kind of weird.
That was bad. Oh, and we just know. Or if it was really good... We know. I don't know. It's just sort
it's
of
a weird combo of things.
Unconscious, psychic.
Well, on that note, why don't we go into a live song? I think it's a perfect segue.
At the end, we'll tell you if it was good or not.
Yeah, let me know if you did it well or not. What would you like to play for us?
This song is called Days of My Youth.
All right. My guests are the Parson Redheads. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Just go and do it.
Okay, sure.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Every day the sun comes out, I see the world in blue and brown. Memories of my childhood, they make their way into my head. Oh, mama, can't you hear?
How'd it go?
That was
I thought it sounded brilliant.
the energy was good. Thank you.
Awesome. Good participation.
Cool. Oh yeah, excellent. So when you're performing live, you know, you have this connection with the audience and that feeds your performance. Obviously you don't get that when you're in the studio. How much of what you guys do in your heads is the live act and how much of it is the recording artists?
What do you mean?
Well, like some bands, it seems that they see performing live as a necessary function for getting their recorded music out there, a place to sell their CDs. And other people see the reverse, where it's they love performing live, but they got to make a CD because they need something to sell.
I don't know. It's pretty half. I'm getting to like recording more and more the more I do it. It's kind of grown on me because it's a totally different kind of thing. And you kind of have to learn how to do it and, like, get used to it. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think performing live is where it's at. And, like, I definitely think we're, like, a live band. Like, I think we're good live. And, you know, we never write songs in the studio. It's all, we write songs to perform them live, you know. And I think that's what it comes down to is we write songs to play them for people. And then we go into the studio and record those songs. Does it want them to hear, you know?
Does it present certain challenges for you guys recording because there's so many different elements? So, I mean, your music is very textured. There's so many different instruments and singers and everything.
Yeah. No, it's normally pretty easy. Like, we've got to the point where we can do it, like, the main part of it live. Like, we'll normally do, like, drums, bass, one or two guitars together and then add on top of that I think it's great. It sounds really natural, and it's not that difficult.
Yeah, it seems like we're figuring out how to record in the best way for us as a band. And it seems like more recently it works better when the drums and the bass and the two guitars record all at once rather than separate tracks. Mm-hmm. And it seems to capture something of the band that recording them separately doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it turns out much better that way.
They're both like playing live and recording is like two different ballparks, and they're so much fun to like explore the possibilities of. Like, I haven't mentioned all the cool things about like playing live, but like being in the studio it's got like all these different potentials for adding effects or getting a particular sound and changing things up a little bit. It's a lot of fun and just like hanging out in the studio and thinking about the music in different ways. And then like David, the one of the guys that isn't here, he's like really great with recording and has a really good grip on like what we're trying to go for. for a sound, and it's been a lot of fun to record with him. He's usually, when we're doing demos or whatever, he's like the pilot.
Yeah.
Engineer.
But I guess when you guys are recording and you're doing, you know, a couple of instruments at the same time, you still have that kind of live element because at least you have the communication with each other.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you can feed off each other. Do you guys do that a lot on stage, sort of check around the stage and check in with each other during a song?
I look more at my bandmates than I do at the audience.
Really?
Although whenever I want to get a bandmate's attention, that's when they don't look at me. Which happens.
So you got to throw a drumstick at them or something.
Yeah, like something will go wrong with my drum kit. And no matter how much I'm, like, screaming or, like, looking at someone, no one can help me.
I'll be on the lookout from now on.
Weird stuff happens. You know, weird stuff happens. I'm like, get this, the cymbal's falling. Get the cymbal's falling. And no one's looking at me.
You got to get some rear view mirrors for the front man of the band.
I have some bad luck with that kind of stuff.
Let's listen to another track from your CD. What do you guys want to hear? Or what do you want us to hear?
What do you think, Dry Off?
Hmm.
Say Goodnight?
Let's do Say Goodnight. Save Dry Off for later.
Okay.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Parson Redheads. The place to go for the most up-to-date info is your MySpace page?
MySpace, for sure.
And that's myspace.com/redheads. We'll be right back with more interview and live music from the Parson Redheads. Stick around.
Days are growing longer.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Parson Redheads. Now, which came for you first, Evan? Was it playing guitar or singing?
Probably singing. So I sang in like choirs and actually, okay, definitely singing.
Definitely singing.
We grew up in a, Evan and I were homeschooled. and we grew up, I say that like it's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, it's a great thing. But we were together a lot, and my mom is very musical, and so she made us sing rounds.
Yeah,
and
we sang a lot now that I think about it.
A lot. We learned things by singing. And yeah, so it was definitely from little.
And I learned how to play piano when I was pretty young. I don't remember a lot of it, but I kind of do.
I cannot tell you how many times in one of these interviews it's come up. The number one cause of guitar playing is learning piano.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then like I was probably 14 when I just picked up the guitar and was like, I think I want to learn how to play guitar.
Did you sort of feel like you had an instinct for it? Like, was it easy for you to pick up?
No, well, I guess kind of, yeah, because my mom showed me, like,
chords.
The three chords she knew. She was like, here's the three chords. She, like, endowed me with her magical D, nice. A, and G.
You had enough for a Green Day song, at least. Yeah.
And then I took it from there and just picked up stuff as I went along. I picked it up pretty fast, so... Yeah, and then slowly started to try to be in bands at that point.
Did everybody here sort of grow up in a musical family?
No.
No? Discovered music on your own?
Yes.
And how did you come across the drums?
Well,
this is a good story.
Was 14 and my parents took me to a Big Bad Voodoo Daddy concert in Ashland, Oregon. And I can't believe that they went through that town. Well, actually, I can. I can't believe they went through that tent. And I was inspired. And so my dad went out and bought me a drum set the next day.
Wow.
And he surprised me. And then I was a really lazy, bad daughter. And I didn't learn until I was 19.
So you just spent years just
They're just
sort
sitting
of
in my
it.
Room for a really long time. And I, like, looked really cool. And I'd have people come over and I'd be like, oh, that's my drum set.
But you didn't know how to play
it. But I couldn't really play anything. And then I actually, Sam... and Evan are very responsible for teaching me the drums because I essentially learned to be in this band.
And so you learned how to play the drums in the Parson
like
Redheads?
They're like, you need to learn because we have a show. And it was awesome because Sam is a really good drummer and Evan can just naturally
play anything.
So they showed me, like, song by song. And then eventually I learned to do it on my own. But, I had them for years in my room, but didn't do anything with them.
We had to get comfortable with them, being around them. And
yeah.
Everything.
You just need the proper motivation.
They're scary looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're so loud. They're so loud.
Are you talking about me and Evan or the drums?
Yeah. both.
So, but you guys had played in other... forms of this band and probably in other bands as well.
Yeah,
is there anything that you do that you're aware of in this band that's different from what you did in those other bands? It's a different approach to music, a different way of playing
really
your instruments.
Yeah. My other bands were kind of like a lot more punk rock based, and this is really the first band that I've been in that really focuses on like songwriting and making the best possible song rather than kind of just like making parts that sound cool and like having fun. I mean, we definitely in previous bands have worried about like how a song, is paced and comes across and everything, but
it's more about the hook, I guess, in those bands. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And just about like having a great time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is, it's something to be said for that for sure. But this is, I think, a little more songwriting focused. And if I need to, if anybody in the band needs to like play in the pocket, then that's okay.
You're still having a great time. It's just
a
more mature form of it.
Yeah. So that's probably the main difference is that this is a lot quieter. Actually, when Evan and Brett and I started that first band that would later, they would create the Parson Redheads from, I left because I really wanted to like sing really loud and like do a little bit of screaming too, I'll admit. I had some of that in me and I still needed to kind of get out the last dregs of punk rock. So, and I did for a couple of years.
So we came back. Yeah. We came back.
For the other bands I've been in, I guess only one really, it was a weirder band. And we pretty much wrote everything like together. Like one person would have a guitar part and then we'd go, and like I'd make up lyrics and vocals in practices, and it was a lot more complicated, like math rock.
A little bit more Radiohead-y. Yeah, like,
and yeah. And so it was definitely a different kind of band and a different approach to music. Like almost everything was somehow ended up in like a weird time signature or something, you know.
And has the Parson Redheads, as they're set up now, is this sort of the way you think it's meant to be, or is it still part of an evolution of sound?
I think it's always changing and going in different, not like drastic directions, but I think we're always trying out new things, and like I'm comfortable where we are and comfortable wherever we, you know, if we get more jammy, then that's what we want to do, or if we get more folky, then that's what we want to do, you know.
If you give Sam an opportunity to scream just once,
then, you know,
I
have
one screamo song.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Oh, boy.
Good grief.
All right, you guys ready for another live song?
Yes, we didn't decide what we were going to play, did we? But let's play Burning Up the Sky, Crowds.
What do you guys think?
Let's save Burning for later, so let's do Crowds.
Okay. This is a mellow song that's not on any album.
All right. Whenever you guys are ready.
Shining all around.
No, don't end. Don't end. That's such a great song.
Thank you. It's a popular song, and we don't have it on any albums. People are like now going crazy.
It's a beautiful song. How did you guys decide what you wanted to put on this album? I mean, do you guys put together a lot of songs and then sort of pare it down to the ones you're going to actually put out?
It's getting that way.
Yeah.
For that, we didn't have a lot more than ended up on it. There were a few more that are probably actually going to be on this one that we just didn't feel like were where we wanted them to be. And there were some that I had that we just... But for that one, a lot of those we'd had for a long time. Like, we had when we were in Oregon still, and we were just kind of saving them for the right time. And then when we moved here, we fleshed them out more and put them on there. So that's, like, kind of a culmination of, like, a collection of quite a long time.
What is the sort of half-life for a song for you? I mean, do you get an idea in your head and quickly write it out, and then you guys go and put it together? Or is it a much longer process?
Kind of depends.
Sometimes I'll write like 3 songs in a day, like almost complete, and like record a demo of them or something. And sometimes I'll play something for a month before I ever show it to anybody. Once I show it to the band, it doesn't take that long to. Once we really put our minds to working on it, it doesn't take very long.
So right now you're holding off on, you have a whole bunch of songs you're not going to let them see until they're ready.
Evan has a lot of songs. There's a lot that we're excited to learn too, and we just don't have time. Like, there's so many. And we'll like maybe work on them for what, like 15 minutes for a practice, and they're like, okay. Yeah. Put that on the back burner. We have to do real work now. But we're like, oh, we really want to learn that one.
Yeah, like in February, I think since we're not going to be doing a lot of shows, we'll probably just be focusing on a lot of new stuff, because we'll be hopefully putting something out pretty soon, somewhat soon, new. So we'll be working on more new stuff. And
you guys are super busy right now. I mean, you have the Mondays at Spaceland this month, and then you're going to be doing some more radio things. You're doing Morning Becomes Eclectic next week, which is exciting. And, you know, that's a great, you know, step. That's a milestone for indie bands in LA. So that's pretty cool. Yeah,
for sure.
So awesome. Where can people get the King Giraffe album? Is it available?
As far as I know, you can get it at Amoeba, and you can order it at, like, from Barnes & Noble or from
Amazon.
Borders, Amazon. Online, pretty much any online music store, or yukonrecords.com
is our label.
The folks who put it out, you can get it from there too.
Is it on iTunes?
And it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes.
And how did you guys end up being hooked up with UConn? I guess that's an indie label. They see you guys perform, or?
Yeah, they were kind of friends of friends when we moved here, and we became closer friends with them. They just kept coming to shows, and they were like, we have this label. We've put out, like, I think they'd put out 2 things at that point. We're like, you guys want to do it? And we wanted an outlet for the song, so we went ahead, and it was great to work with friends and just, like, have it be a real low.
It's a very, like,
small,
family, community feeling, and they only record people they love and that are friends of theirs, and just so that they can get their music out there, you know, that they feel really strongly about, so.
Have you found that with a lot of your fans, is they sort of become part of your family in a sense, that they want to be a part of the music somehow?
Yeah. Really funny. It's really... The music community we've experienced in LA has been very warm,
awesome.
and community, the feeling like a community. Maybe it's the Silver Lake scene, but it's been awesome, and everybody's just so supportive and wanting to participate.
Like what I find, and I've never asked other bands if this is something that happens to them, because it's a weird question to ask another band. But like, I'll have, you know, people who just watch us. And then, like, they'll be talking to me after a show, and they'll be like, so, like, can I play in your, like, and they're, like, serious. They'll be like, so, like, maybe I could play with you guys sometime. I'm like, oh, maybe.
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
Just, like, really, like,
they
want to
be
a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because we're having fun up there, and there's a lot of us.
Well, yeah, and sometimes.
So, like, yeah, maybe we can.
We'll have a lot of people, so it seems like maybe they could. I don't know.
And sometimes they do.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything that your fans respond to in the music more than any other thing? Is it like the lyrics or just the sound or maybe just the way you guys perform live?
I think we really win people over if they see us live.
It's pretty fun and kind of a charming experience.
I think they,
for
they,
most people, I think
they feel that we're. I think it's a really kind of palpable feeling of that we're enjoying each other on stage, and it's happy. It's really happy and fun.
Yeah,
and that's the comments that I get is that you guys seem like just having a really fun time and that you like each other a lot and I want to kind of be a part of that. Like, I want to have fun too.
It's true. People don't like to go out and see a band and see the band looking like they're at work, and they are at work. But when they look like they're at work,
sometimes they look like they'd rather be doing anything else but playing a show.
It's true.
Really too bad.
Yeah, or some bands are like, you know, they'll like really put on an act, you know, like throw their guitars and like stick their tongues out and play with their tongues or whatever. I don't know.
I read a quote from a Jesus and Mary Chain, reformed Jesus and Mary Chain show. Maybe it was at Coachella. William Reed, the singer, asked the audience, he was like, "Are you guys having a good time?" And everyone went crazy. And then he said, "Well, we'll see what we can do about that." And then they played the next song, some depressing song about drugs.
That's hilarious. And it's funny because his voice, every time I hear a Jesus Mary Chain song, I always think like he's just woken up. Like he sounds so tired. Like, I don't want to sing this song. It's so hard for me to sing this song. But they write good songs. So. All right, let's listen to another track from King Giraffe. What do you guys want to play?
Someone else choose.
I don't know. Okay.
my pick just got voted down.
You got voted down. You're going to have to buy the album if you want to hear that
Dry
song.
Off?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the Parson Redhead. Stick around. More to come.
Hey, man, drive on. There's a golden place in the sun. Everybody knows you can't get off when the train's still rolling on.
And in the sun, you know
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Parson Redheads. And I want to ask you guys, and it's kind of a convoluted question, I guess, but I was just, how do you guys characterize success for your band? How do you know when you've made it? What's sort of the end game for it all? I mean, are you guys just happy playing around the Silver Lake scene, or is there sort of like a destination you guys see?
I don't know. I think about this a lot, and I kind of wonder if it's not, I don't know, because so many bands that I, you know, have this discussion with, will talk about, oh, we need to get signed and like get a record deal. But that's really when your band's work begins. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's not going to cure all your problems and solve everything. Like that's when the stakes are raised and you really, really need to prove yourself. So I try not to think of it like there's going to be this one, because I've thought about it like this in the past, you know, ever since I was like seventh grade and I wanted to be just like MXPX or something, you know, like there's not going to be this one stage that we arrive at one day we wake up and we go, oh yeah, we're there. You know what I mean? But that said, I don't know. I think one of my personal goals is maybe this year, if we could go down to working part-time jobs instead of full-time hours, and subsist the rest off the band. I think that's a huge step towards success in that financial.
No job is a big deal. No day job is a big deal.
Yeah.
In that financial sense.
So just being able to do your music and have that be what you guys do.
Yeah. Right. That would be, for me, that would be great. I mean, like having the music reach a lot of people and a lot of people like it. Would be cool, and at the same time, having that equal me being able to do it and us being able to just focus on it like full time and have it be our job, and then thus have time for other things that we also like to do, you know, is something that I would love to have happen at some point, you know.
Are you guys ready for one more live song?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. What are you going to play?
The song's called Burning Up the Sky. And it's on an EP that we released at sometime 2006.
Way back
2005.
When.
No, it was in 2005.
God, that was several right years ago. It's 2008 already?
I don't know.
Insane.
Oh, whoa. Oh, what the heck?
Yeah. I just, Y2K just, like, in my mind just happened, you know? Like.
I know. Yikes. Yesterday I built my underground Y2K lodge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Put up all those dried beans. Yeah. Greens and rice.
Nah, they're all going bad.
Oh, my barrels of water.
All right, my guests are the Parson Redheads. Whenever you're ready.
Ready, guys? Mm-hmm. Ladies? One, two, one, two, three. We are living, we're living in a new age, living in a new age, kicking up the dust. Thank you.
That's why the show is called Is Good, folks. My guests have been the Parson Redheads. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Remind us all once again where you're playing, when to go see you.
We're playing at Spaceland every Monday in January with a lot of other good bands.
It's free.
Free dollars.
Free. Zero.
Awesome. I think I have nothing in my pockets. So I might actually have to show up.
Yeah,
it's the show for me. This will be available for download. This episode of Is Good on killradio.org will be available from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com sometime tomorrow, as well as podcast on iTunes. So look there for more information, myspace.com/thisisgood, where you can see all the upcoming guests. And check out myspace.com/redheads for more information on the Parson Redheads, and I'll see you at the Spaceland show. Should we sign off with another track from the CD?
Yeah.
What do you guys recommend?
Oh, good one.
Traveling.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sounds good.
All right, here it is. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Parson Redheads.